Those who finish their salah, you can come to the front, inshallah. Just be careful of those people reading namaz, and you can slowly make your way to the front, inshallah. Everybody, all the children at the back, against the wall, you can all come forward, inshallah. Come more forward, more forward. Inshallah, everyone move forward, fill in the gaps. We're close together, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد ما شاء الله nice to see all of the young faces here today ما شاء الله a lot of people I haven't seen in a long time Yusuf, Anas, many of you ما شاء الله so those children who are still at home the mothers and sisters who can hear me children are at home they're not doing anything or they're playing games or they're doing all the things that we normally complain about so please send them to the masjid we have kept this program so that they can participate in the masjid Normally we always keep our bayans and speeches, but we know that for the children sometimes it can get a bit boring, it can get a bit long. So therefore we've kept this program inshallah. We've got some reminders, some speeches, because I know mashallah people of different ages and we all want to benefit. So we've kept a few reminders so everybody can benefit. And if you've seen the itinerary, the layout of the program, you see that we've got some speeches, we've got mashallah some qira'at of Qur'an which will take place. And inshallah we have a nasheed artist. Who's, mashallah, nationally known, almost internationally known, who will be coming today as well. And I've told him, do a good few nasheeds as well so everybody can listen and everybody can benefit. And then at the end, there's going to be a quiz. So all of the young children who are here, mashallah, well done, first of all, and congratulations for coming, first of all. So inshallah, in the quiz, we have some prizes, some sweets and things like that. So anybody who gets any answers correct will get some prizes. So I hope everybody is... aware of everything and everybody's remembering all of the things that they have learnt in madrasa. So inshallah, I just saw our Hafiz Saleh, has he gone? Hafiz Saleh, can I call you for qiraat? No? So inshallah, without any further ado, we'll start our program with a little bit of recitation of the Qur'an, a portion of of the Qur'an. So I'd like to call Huzaifa Sajid to come forward. And do some tilawat, inshallah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhan نبي لما تحرم ما أحل الله لك تبتغي مرضات أزواجك والله غفور رحيم قد فرض الله لكم تحلة أيمانكم والله مولاكم وهو العليم الحكيم وإذ أسر النبي إلى بعض أزواجه حديثا فلما نبأت به وأظهره الله عليه عرف بعضه وأعرض عن بعض فلما نبأها به قالت من أنبأك هذا قال نبأني العليم الخبير إن تتوبا إلى الله فقد صغت قلوبكما وإن تظاهر عليه فإن الله هو مولاه وجبريل وصالح المؤمنين والملائكة بعد ذلك ظهير عسى ربه إن طلقكن أن يبدله أزواج خير منكن مسلمات مؤمنات قانتات تائبات عابدات سائحات ثيبات وبكارا يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون صدق الله العظيم.
Congratulations, well done Huzaifa, mashallah, very well recited. Mashallah, Huzaifa had started his hifz in our madrasa, and now mashallah he is in Darulum Berri. He's studying his hifz in a boarding madrasa, where you stay and you eat and you sleep all in one madrasa. Mashallah. Who thinks they can go and live in a boarding madrasa? Nobody? Everybody inshallah, it's very, very good, and you stay there and you stay in good with good friends and good company and pious people, and you can read all of your 5 times salah as well, and you don't even miss a single salah. So mashallah, Huzaifa is staying there, and hopefully very soon we'll hear that he is half his Huzaifa Sajid inshallah, very soon. Okay, so without any further ado, we've got a few talks planned, so inshallah. So without any further ado, I'd like to call our respected, beloved Morna Adam Sab to come forward and give a brief talk about the importance of correct knowledge.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد. My dear friends, young friends, my brothers and my elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So inshallah, because the majority of the faces today are very young, mashallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you more ability to carry out those things that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the topic today is the importance of acquiring or the importance of getting correct knowledge. Now first, let's start with knowledge, why knowledge is so important and how people have managed to get knowledge. So there's a very brief story. The story is of, which I've heard from my Shaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, the story of Imam Saraqsi Rahmatullahi Alayh. When he was living in his town, in his city, he once said something, and the king of that time got very angry at what he said. And because it was something that upset him and that was against what the king wanted to hear, so the king decided that I'm going to put him in a jail. Now, it's not the jail of today where you have bars and they go into a certain building and they locked up in a room. This jail was of the olden times. So he made up his own jail. And what was the jail? That a well, we're going to put this imam right into the bottom of the well. And this is his jail. And whenever he needs food, we'll throw the food down into the well and he can eat from there. When he needs a drink, we'll throw, twice a day we'll throw down some food, we'll throw down some drink. If he needs to sleep, sleep at the bottom of the well. When will you be released from this jail? You will be released from this jail when you apologize to the king and you say that what I said was wrong. Whereas the imam wasn't wrong. The king was wrong. The king wanted to do some bad things, but the imam said that no, these things are not allowed and it is haram, it is not allowed in Islam to do these things. But the king didn't listen. The king didn't want to hear and he put him in this jail. And how long did this imam stay in this jail for? He stayed in this jail, the bottom of a well, for 15 years. Some of the faces here have not even reached the age of 15. For 15 years he stayed in the bottom of this jail, for 15 years. But he was an imam. And the only thing he wanted to do and knew how to do was he wanted to pass on information about Islam. He wanted to teach the Quran. He wanted to teach hadith. He wanted to teach people. So his students also wanted to learn. His students were not like that when they came to the madrasa and the imam said that, beta, today there's no madrasa, I'm a bit tired. And they laughed and they got so excited that, alhamdulillah, no madrasa today, okay, I'm going home. Or that you're not being very good, I'm going to send you home early. It's supposed to be a punishment in our days, but not in our days. If you send a student home, he gets happy. I got sent home early today, no madrasa. The students also wanted to learn. So the students came by the well. All of his students came by the well. And the imam started teaching them. He was teaching them. And throughout his 15 years in jail, he taught them every single day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He taught them 7 days a week. He taught them every single day. And what did the students do? Those who were around the well, they got out their papers and their pens and they wrote everything he wrote. Everything he said, they kept writing it. And this is very important for us as well. Whenever we get taught something, whenever we get given homework, whenever we got told to do something, even the adults, when you listen to a bayan, a lecture, then note things down. Either note it down on your phone so that you can benefit yourself and make a column on your phone. Things I didn't know or things I can improve upon. For example, for the adults, the imam was talking about ghibah. What is ghibah? Ghibah is to backbite. What are the forms of backbiting? These are the forms of backbiting. How do I stop myself from backbiting? Now, we might not know this. We might know that ghibah, backbiting, is haram, but we might not know why it's haram and how do I stop myself. So we make a note of this, that I've got this habit in my life. My sheikh always says that if you want to improve, then make a list, a personal list between you and Allah of all the bad things you have in your life. I've got the habit of backbiting. I've got the habit of swearing. I've got the habit of listening to music. I've got the habit of misusing my eyes. I've got the habit of going onto my phone late at night and watching things that I'm not supposed to do. What not supposed to be watching. Make a list and then every month assess yourself. But how will this happen? When you actually put pen to paper, when you actually start typing and you make a list of what's wrong in your life, it's very important. The ulama have mentioned that if there's a wild animal or if there is a pet and you want to keep it within you, sometimes you need to cage it. You need to cage the wild animal so that it doesn't escape. So similarly, if you want to secure ilm, how do you cage ilm? You write it down. That's the way to cage ilm. So anyway, the students sat around the well, and from the bottom of the well, he started teaching them. After 15 years they spent in that madrasa. After 15 years, whatever the students wrote down, it was made into a book, and the ulama will know of this book. The book was called Al-Mabsut. And if you look into the libraries and you find this book is 30 volumes. 30 volumes this book was compiled, and it's in many libraries till today. Mufti Sahib would have read it, a lot of us would have read it who have studied. Al-Mabsut. Where did he dictate all these books, all these texts? From the bottom of the well. What does this show us? It shows us many things. Number one, how deep and how knowledgeable was the person inside the well? He didn't have a library inside that well. He couldn't refer to everything. Everything was in memory. So this is a very important lesson for us. That if we also want to learn things, when you go to Maktab, and inshallah this quiz will also prove this effective, when you go to Maktab, you must try to memorize a lot of what you've learned. If you've learned this 4 faraid of wudu, memorize it. And even for the adults, it's very important that we memorize ilm as well. For example, there's some things that our younger ones won't understand at this moment in time, but there's some things that are very important for us to understand. How many wajibat in salah? Adults need to know these things. What things break your fast? An adult needs to know these things. These basic things, it shouldn't be that we text The Mufti Sahib, I was reading Salah, but in the third rak'ah, I forgot to read Surah Fatiha. Is my Salah done? We should know that there. Because wajib means, just like how this is a wajib act in Salah, it is also wajib for us to know this thing. Because if we don't know something that is wajib in Salah, how are we going to be performing the wajib act of Salah? This is why my Shaykh always gives this example, that a person who's driving a car. A person who's driving a car, if he switches on the car and he puts on the accelerator, but he doesn't put the car in gear, will the car go anywhere? But the noise that's coming out from the car, everyone around who's listening will be like, he's probably driving at 70, 80, 100 miles per hour. But when they open the window, he's still there. And he might be even turning the wheel and enjoying himself, but he's not going anywhere. Why? Because he doesn't know how to drive the car. So similarly, we're also in this car of ours, which we need to drive to Jannah. And we are thinking that we know everything. I know everything. I've watched loads of YouTube videos. I've watched so many TikTok videos about Islam that I've hit the record. Very close, I'm going to be hitting the Guinness World Record of watching the most TikTok videos in a day about Islam. So we think we've known everything, but we don't know how to apply any of that knowledge. So our religious car is still at its same position. Whereas people around us would be like, MashaAllah, Yaqub, you've been going to madrasa for so many years now. You're in Jama'at 9 now. You're in Jama'at 8 now. You're almost finished now, MashaAllah. You finished the Quran, Hafizah, MashaAllah. We may have finished the Quran, but we don't know anything about the Quran. We may have finished all our textbook 1 to textbook 8. We may have finished the Sanatain course. But we still don't know how to apply that knowledge. We're exactly like that car who's making a lot of noise, but it's not going anywhere. So this is why it's very important to acquire knowledge. Very, very important to acquire knowledge. And our knowledge, we have to apply it in our life. Only then will we be successful in our knowledge. So Imam Saraqsi rahmatullahi alayhi, in the bottom of the well, he managed to dictate 30 volumes of knowledge. That's one story. But who do we get our knowledge from? And this is where I indicated to. Remember my friends, especially my young friends, you're still in Maktab. You're still, the majority of you are still under the age of 15, under the age of 16. So you can never rely on yourself that I think I know it all. I've got enough knowledge now. So when we finish Jama'at 8 and Jama'at 9 and I tell my boys that, okay, maybe start going to Mufti Sahib Sanatain now. Because you're now mature. What some of the replies I get? the mother texts or the father texts to say that, I think my son's been in madrasa for quite long enough. I think he knows a lot. I think he's studied a lot. So he knows everything, so now he doesn't need to study anymore. So I don't think I'll be sending him to Sanatain anymore. So then, just quickly assess your own son and your own daughter. How much do they know? Very quick questions. Take this book. How well do you know Islam? And assess them. We can never know too much. That's number one. Number two, never rely upon ourselves that we know too much. So now I can shop around for knowledge and I can look around for knowledge. A very great imam, a very great alim, his name is Mufti Saeed Ahmad Palanpuri, rahmatullah alayh. The ulama will know him very well. Very great. He taught Bukhari Sharif for almost 30 years, I believe. Longer maybe. Almost 30 years he taught Bukhari Sharif. When he was studying, and he was in his sixth year, he picked up a book and he was reading. And his teacher was passing by. And he looked and he said, Saeed, what book are you studying? So he said, this is the book I'm studying. And the person who wrote the book was not a reputable alim. He was not an alim who had correct knowledge. The teacher took the book off him and said that, not now, after 10 years read it. He was in his sixth year, his final year, meaning he was going to get a master's in Islamic knowledge. He had his PhD done, he had everything done, he was going to get the master's now. He was going to be a doctor in ilm, a complete doctor, only 2-3 months left. But his teacher took the book away and said, you're not ready for this book read. So if he has reached such a caliber, of such a level, and he was not ready for this book, then how can me and you be ready to go on YouTube, to go on TikTok and watch any person's videos and watch any person and decide that this is good for me? This is why I tell my boys, maybe it's not appropriate, but I tell my boys in madrasa that if you go on YouTube and TikTok and you watch 10 football videos and at the same time you watch one Islamic video of someone who is not good, that Islamic video will do more damage to you than watching 10 football videos. I'm not telling you to watch football videos. Watching football, there's two opinions. Sometimes some of the ulama say that you're not allowed to watch football because the satr is showing, their knees are showing. But what I am telling you is that if someone watched all Islamic videos during this December holidays and I asked him in madrasa that, what did you learn? He'll come back and say, guys, I learned so much. I was doing so many religious things in the holidays. He thinks he's doing religious things, but he harmed his religion so much that every time Qari Sahib says something to him, he's always thinking that, is what Mufti Sahib saying is right or not? Because the person on YouTube said something different. The person on TikTok said something different. And if you watch 10 million football videos, and you came back to madrasa and asked you, did you do anything religious? You'll put your head down and like, no Qari Sahib, I didn't do anything. You yourself will know that I wasted my time on YouTube because I was just watching football videos. You won't think you did anything religious, but if you keep watching religious videos, in inverted commas, it will do so much harm to you. And I'm not making it up. I will give you examples today, very briefly. Hold on. I will give you examples of some of the very famous people. I won't mention the names. Very famous people of what they said, which is completely wrong. Has everyone heard of Ya'juj and Ma'juj? Everyone heard of Ya'juj and Ma'juj? Towards the end of Qiyamah, such a nation will be released, will be called Ya'juj and Ma'juj at the time of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and they will cause so much trouble on earth. So much trouble on earth. Anyone know where they are right now? No? Dhulqarnain was a great king. Mawlana Abdul Karim Shah is currently doing the tafsir of Surah Kahf. He's talking about Dhulqarnain. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ Dhulqarnain. And they ask you about Dhulqarnain. Who is Dhulqarnain? So the Quran gives some answers and some information about Dhulqarnain. Dhulqarnain was on his travel once and he met some people, and some people said that there's some people in our neighboring area who are troubling us so much. Can you please deal with them? So he built a massive wall and he locked them up. He locked this nation up. And the Quran gives information and detail about how Dhulqarnain made the wall. But in our time, a great alim, who the people mention, give him this title, the greatest luminary in the North America. Such a great alim, very prolific. He has even more knowledge than, if you think I have knowledge, then my knowledge is like a drop compared to his knowledge. How fluently and how eloquently he talks, none of us can even compete with him. Which places he has visited, none of us can compete with him. But what did he say about Ya'juj and Ma'juj? Ya'juj and Ma'juj is metaphorical. Meaning, they're not actual people. It's a metaphor. They're not real people. Why? Because in 2023, we live in such a time where technology is so advanced. How come we haven't still not found this wall? So if we haven't found this wall when we live in 2023, where we have satellites and the satellite can detect where every single person's movement is, how come they cannot detect where Ya'juj and Ma'juj are? So that's what he's saying, and it makes sense to us. So we'll watch this video and be like, that's true. But then our Bichari Mufti Sahab on Friday, he will give a whole bayan about Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And all we'll be thinking in the back of our heads is that Mufti Sahib doesn't know anything. They're not even real people. But when the Quran describes how the wall was made and how he managed to build the wall, then does that mean there is a wall? There's no wall. Why would the Quran go to such detail to describe how the wall was made? But when you listen to the YouTube video, you'll be like, oh no, it makes sense. It's not. About 4 or 5 years ago, another example. 4 or 5 years ago, another Mufti Saab, he even got the name Mufti, he said in his YouTube video that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is not going to come back down on this earth, because we all believe about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam that he got raised to the heavens, and we're going to believe at the end of time Isa alayhi salam is going to descend back to the on earth. So he said that there is no such thing of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam coming back on this earth. This is not a fairy tale. He called Isa alayhi salam coming back onto the earth a fairy tale. So now we're right now waiting, astaghfirullah, how can someone say that? But when you constantly watch these videos, and especially when he has the name Mufti, then you'll think that our Imam is called Mufti, and the person on YouTube is called Mufti. So just like how I can rely on this Mufti, I can rely on that Mufti. This is why very careful, be very careful of who you listen to. It's not a light matter. Another example. I'm giving practical examples so you understand the dangers of going on YouTube. Another example, a very famous person, especially in this past 1-2 months, he mentioned with regards to music. Is music halal or is music haram? Haram. All of us know that we're not allowed to listen to music. What did he say? He said that if music is in the background and you're not paying attention to it, then you're allowed to have music in the background. But when you put earphones in your ear and you attentively listen to music, then it's haram. Meaning music is sometimes halal and sometimes haram, which this is not true at all. Even our little children will know that music is not halal. No one will come to the madrasa and say, Kaisab, today I listened to a good song today. Because it would be embarrassing. How can you say that? I can't come to madrasa and tell my qari sahab that. Everyone knows it's haram. But he said, very famous. Again, I'm not going to mention names. Very famous. He said, music has two categories. Background music and music that you listen to intentionally. If it's background music, it's not haram. It's fine. But if you listen to it intentionally, then it's haram. Then you're not allowed to listen to it. All these examples I'm giving you, why? Because if you just go on YouTube, TikTok, on the social platforms, and you listen to these people, you won't understand what is right and what is wrong. And this is when it becomes very dangerous. Because, let's go back to that example of the person in the car. He knows how to drive the car, but he doesn't know the way to the destination. For example, he wants to go to London. Now, to go to London, you have to take specific roads, a specific motorway. So he knows how to drive the car, but he doesn't know the way to London. So he'll drive and drive and drive. And instead of reaching London, he'll reach Scotland. And he will tell himself that, no, this looks like London. This looks like London. Okay, it's a bit colder and people have different accents here, but I heard people in London also have different accent. So he'll drive all the way to Scotland and he'll think that I'm in London. Why? Because he knew how to drive the car, but he didn't know the way to his destination. So we want to acquire knowledge, and our destination is Jannah. Now, if we don't know how to drive that knowledgeable car to Jannah, then we will drive, 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 drive. And instead of that knowledge leading us to Jannah, it will take us to Jahannam. And this is what will happen. This is why you have two types of alim, scholars. Those who are called al-ulama'u rabbaniyun, the God-fearing, Allah-fearing ulama, and the ulama'u su, those evil scholars. Two types of alims. One set of alim will lead you to Jannah, and the one won't lead you to Jannah. This is why, my dear young friends, be very careful about where you acquire knowledge from. And lastly, just before we end, those who are in maktab, remember, this is a very important point. Those who are in maktab, remember, even the parents, listen to this point. Those, especially my mothers and sisters who are listening at home, please listen to this point. Islam has five branches. We have the branch knowledge. If you want to acquire accurate, authentic knowledge, there's five knowledges you have to acquire. Make sure your beliefs are correct. And especially to my adults, the last time, as our Mufti Sahib always mentions, our ilm is all primary. Our ilm is all at our primary school level. Because the last time we went to a classroom was when we were 12 years old. Meaning we just finished primary school and then we stopped going to madrasa anymore. So especially adults, make sure your beliefs are correct. What is the correct belief about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The sifat, the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does ثُمَّ اسْتَوَىٰ عَلَى الْأَرْشِ actually mean? What does يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ actually mean? What do all these things mean? أَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ What does يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ mean? What do all these things mean? I'm just giving indications in Arabic because I don't want to confuse anyone. But what do all these things mean about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we adults actually know it? Or are we those ones that are going on YouTube and finding the answers to these things? Because let me tell you, with regards to beliefs, if we go on YouTube and find our beliefs about Islam on YouTube, especially adults, you will go a very long way away from the right path. You will go into very dangerous territories. Very dangerous territories when you try to find out your beliefs from YouTube and other place, social platforms. This is one branch, aqidah. The second branch is ibadat, our devotions, which is basically five pillars of Islam. Salah, zakah, sawm, hajj. Second one is mu'amalat, our transactions. Mu'asharat, how we live in society. And the last one is husnul akhlaq, good characteristics where our heart is free from jealousy, arrogance, etc. These are five knowledges. We don't have time to go to all of them. But what I want to tell the adults and especially the mothers at home, that Islam is these five things. Islam is not Quran ko khatam karna hai. A lot of us think that the whole knowledge, our whole Islam is revolved around one thing. If my 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 16-year-old student finishes Quran and he's read the whole Quran, it is time for me to take him out of maktab. It is time for me to take him out of madrasa. Why? Because he's read the whole Quran. My dear brothers, if reading the whole Quran was a sign that your son or daughter has got all the knowledge, then listen to this. Abu Jahl could read the Quran as well. Abu Jahl, he knew how to read the Quran. Why? Because he was Arab. Abu Jahl's level of Arabic was better than anyone seated here, without a doubt. Abu Jahl. What does Abu Jahl mean? The father of ignorance. Meaning the person who was the most ignorant person is Abu Jahl. But he knew how to read the whole Quran. Does that make him a perfect Muslim? It cannot possibly make him a perfect Muslim. Doesn't mean that you know how to read the Quran that you're a perfect Muslim now. It's time for me to take my child out of maktab. Does he know how to read all his question, all his salah properly? Does he know his aqidah properly? Does he know that atheism is wrong? Does he know why atheism is wrong? Because right now, the biggest challenge for our youth is atheism. Does he know that these things are wrong? If he doesn't know these things and you've taken him out of maktab, what age do you take him out of maktab? Because usually, I'm guessing in Masjid al-Hamza and over here it's the same, usually by the age of 13, 14, they finish Quran. When does a boy become baligh? A boy become baligh at this age, 13, 14. So meaning the age where he's starting to understand everything, that's the age we say that better, you don't need to go madrasa anymore. And those parents who have a bit more concern, what do they do? Last point. Those who have a bit more concern, what do they do? That better, you don't need to go maktab anymore, but let's do online. Go maktab and study maktab online. And who's the teacher? Someone in Pakistan. Someone in Bangladesh. So number one, there's a massive language barrier. Our children, the majority of them, they don't know Urdu, they don't know Punjabi to that standard where they can be taught. And what do they teach on online classes? I'll tell you what they teach on online classes. They teach Quran, surahs, and du'as. Quran, surahs, du'as. What is the du'a? What is the meaning of du'a? I don't know. What is the meaning of the surah? I don't know. What is the meaning of the Quran? I don't know. There is no Islamic studies in online classes. How is there going to be Islamic studies when the teacher speaks Urdu and your son speaks English? What's he going to teach your son? So how can your son leave at 13 years old, 12 years old, and do online classes, but where he's not getting any Islamic knowledge? So this is why, even my children, when you finish the Quran, it doesn't mean you know everything. You've got a lot more to learn. A lot more to learn. You've got a lot more to learn. Even the adults. Again, our education is at primary school level. So this is why adults also need to try to join adult classes. I'm not saying join my adult class. I'm not saying that. Join an adult class of a person who you rely upon. There are so many avenues where you can get it. Ask someone, how can I acquire this knowledge? Or else our car is going to be like that car that makes a lot of noise, but we're not making any progress, my dear brothers, in deen. Or worse, we're driving the car of deen, but we're driving it in the wrong direction. But we're happy that at least we know how to drive, alhamdulillah. It's not about whether you know how to drive, it's about whether you're reaching the destination or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil ummi al-kareem. Bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.
Jazakallahu khairan for that reminder by respected Maulana. Can I just find out the age groups here? We've got some very little. I've got Salahuddin, I hope he's not fallen asleep. Salahuddin, come here, you come to the front here. Anybody else his age 5 years old? Who else is 5 years old here? Who's younger than five? Who's younger than five? Anyone got any children younger than five? Yeah? No? MashaAllah, we've got Umar here. Anybody else? Okay, we've got a few. Okay, so the talks are going to be a little bit long for them. So inshallah, we'll try and do the talks. Inshallah, Hafiz Mizan should be here. We're going to Saladin, you sit down here. We should be, Hafiz Mizan should be here. We'll do some nasheeds, and then we'll have a quiz, and then the sweets for everybody, mashallah. What's your name? Ra'is, beautiful name, mashallah. So there'll be some sweets for everybody, mashallah. Not just for, even if you get the answer wrong, you're still a winner. It just means when you go to madrasa, you have to try harder next time. So that everybody in the quiz, they know all of the answers. So a few points that Murana mentioned. Actually, let me get the age groups here. So who do we have who's in primary school? Put your hand up if you're in primary school. That's most of, okay. Okay, put your hands down. Who's in year 7? Okay, mashallah, someone's hiding there, mashallah, mashallah. Who's in year 8? Okay, year 9? Year 10? Okay. Year 11. Anyone over year 11? Year 11 and sixth form. Year 11 and sixth form. Okay, okay, mashallah. Okay. Okay, mashallah. Very good. So most of our audience is quite young today, which is very good. But we wanted more of this. So inshallah, again, just those mothers and sisters, mashallah, we have our receivers going home. E-Masjid Live now. Everybody should have E-Masjid Live. You can download it on your phones. You can even get this £20 license where you can set it up on a tablet or something like that at home. As soon as any program goes live in the masjid, automatically it will go live on your tablet. You'll be able to listen to it and hear it. Or you can purchase the whole system from them as well, mashallah. So very, very clear. Everything is very nice and clear. There's no old crackling sounds that used to take place before, and people used to say, oh, subhanAllah, there's jinnat in the masjid, and they make all of this noise and all of this stuff. So inshallah, you don't have to deal with any of that stuff. You can just buy the E-Masjid Live, very high definition sound, you can listen. So a few points our respected Mona Adams have mentioned: the importance of acquiring correct knowledge, that he mentioned about scholars and, you know, children. Mona was mentioning so many things, and because we're all educators and we've all been teaching children for a long time, especially those who are in year 9, year 10, year 11, nowadays I say, I mean, it's not something that I have to say, it's essential for everybody, even if we're, mashallah, we're our adults here as well, for everyone to continue your Islamic learning. There was a time when the ulama would have said, chalo, it's okay now, you've learned the essentials, now get connected to a sheikh, work on your spirituality. But nowadays, because there is always an avenue through which a person can gain the wrong knowledge, people are sitting there on their phones. I don't want to put any of our adults on the spot. Social media, TikTok. I used to think TikTok was for children. Now when you see the old people on TikTok, grandfathers sitting there, my own grandfather in Bangladesh, he's on TikTok, mashallah, watches so many videos. Facebook, they're on it day and night, and there are so many people who are under the guise of being an Islamic scholar, they are spreading misinformation. And they are very articulate. One thing Marana said fantastically, they are very, very articulate. They can explain things so nicely that we will listen and think, this person is definitely correct. Because my imam in my masjid, he doesn't even know the English word for this particular thing. And this person, he knows 10 syllables for that particular thing. So this is the way we judge things. Beauty, it just has to sound beautiful. So if it sounds beautiful, especially for our mothers and sisters listening, anyone that sounds beautiful and it's very appealing to the ears, ear candy, I don't know if you call it that. But what we do is, we just want to consume as much content of that person as we can, which is not the Islamic way. Many of our great scholars, you know, when we read about in India, you had great scholars. One name just comes to mind now, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Rai Puri Rahmatullahi Ali. Another one was Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullahi Ali. And many of the scholars, we can have a whole long list. They would sit in a gathering and they wouldn't talk. People would come sit with them for ages. And then once a person came into the gathering of Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullahi Ali, and he's sitting there thinking, why is he not saying anything? Why is it quiet? When's he going to say something? I'm here. Because we think everything has to be, we have to hear everything, we have to see everything. You know, there was a great imam called Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullahi alayh. In his gathering, you had, you know, so many thousands of people who would attend to learn hadith from him. 5,000 people, his students say 5,000 people would attend just to watch him and learn good manners and character and etiquette from him. That's it. He didn't have to talk, just the way he spoke, you know, just the way he spoke, the way he sat, the way he ate. Imam Malik, rahmatullahi, great scholars. Many times they would be asked question, Imam Malik, rahmatullahi Ali, he was known as Imam Daril Hijra, the Imam of Medina Munawwara. Once a student came into his gathering and he asked him so many questions. Most of the answers Imam Malik, rahmatullahi Ali, gave, he said, La Adri, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Most of the answers. So someone said, Imam Sahib, this person has traveled all the way from Spain, Andalusia, and he's come to ask you questions, and you're just saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Imam Malik became very angry. He said, should I speak without knowledge that on the day of Qiyamah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes me for it? You know, this is knowledge is a great amana and a responsibility. So we have on TikTok, I have many of our students, you know, mashallah, some of you I'm seeing here, and I'm hoping inshallah it will change by the time the madrasa starts, this wrong haircut that I've spoken about to many of our youngsters. What we say, the haram haircut, where you have hair on one side and the other side is totally, there's no hair. I always see, you know, when student youngsters come to me, I give them a way out. You want to look neat, you want to look tidy, you've got an exam coming up, you've got a job interview, you can get this. I give them the guidance, just do this. But don't do something which is clearly haram. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba mentioned sahih authentic hadith. Naha anil qaza'i. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited the people from qaza. Qaza is where the narrators mention that it's where one side of your hair is lengthened and one side is cut very short. When you shave one side. So regardless of which side it is from. And this was something that, you know, the Christians, especially in those days, the monks, and the, they would do, where they would shave the middle part of their head and they would keep hair around the side. But anything which resembles that, we do the opposite. We keep hair on the top and people shave the bottom. But it's still resembling that. And it's definitely not an Islamic practice. So these kind of things. So anyway, so one of the youngsters, he was doing it. So I said, why? He said, Khalid Sahib, you're always telling us not to do it. But on TikTok, there's this person and he, you know, he always says it. So TikTok, who? He says, I don't know, he's some brother something. Brother something, and he sits behind TikTok, and it's open Q&A, question and answer. So people ask him questions, and he gives the answer, and he has thousands of people that listen. He obviously knows what he's talking about. I said, how does he obviously know what he's talking about? How do you know who he is? My sister was saying to me, well, there's a person called Akhi Ayman. And she said, his name is Akhi Ayman, and he said this thing. And my sister, she's quite young, so she, you know, what she was saying, and we find it quite comedic, but she said, I don't understand, you're a mufti, he's only a akhi, why is he saying such things? You know, I said, you're right, you know, that's what you should think in the future. Anybody who has akhi before their name, we should be careful to take knowledge from them. Akhi means my brother, you know, and a scholar, a maulana, a sheikh, a mufti, someone who's studied for many, many years, they have that knowledge, they have that understanding. Anyway, inshallah, is our Hafiz Mizan sir here? He's probably going to be on his way, inshallah. So I'll move on to my topic, inshallah. Does anybody, you're all very young, so I don't mind taking the questions from. Does anybody have any questions about anything Morana said? Even the adults, inshallah. Anybody have any questions about anything Morana said? Any questions that pop to your mind while Morana was talking? He was talking about Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and he was talking about. What was Morana talking about? He was talking about so many different things. Did anybody, any questions come into your mind when he was talking about it? The wall of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And because what Morana said was spot on. That people, we will listen to videos on YouTube and then we will have this preconceived idea in our mind. And then when we sit down, we listen to another scholar and say, they all talk like this. I remember another relative of mine saying to me, you know, I don't know how much to mention this, that all this... When they say all the scholars, they all say this. You know, it's just like a stereotype. That all these scholars, they're going to say this anyway, so that's why we don't listen to them. You don't listen to music, just do it. Just don't ask any scholars, because if you do, you know what they're going to say. All these Maulvis, all these scholars, they're all the same. So somehow we've made the people of Islam the evil people, the bad people that you stay away from. Because if you go to them, they're going to say it's haram, they're going to say it's wrong, they're going to say it's a bid'ah, they're going to say something or the other. So it's best to do what? Best not to ask them. Just do it. Just don't tell anybody. So how are we going to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What does Allah ta'ala directly instruct us in the Quran? فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you don't know something, then ask the people of knowledge. So inshallah, the reason I gave this option, nobody asked the questions. Everybody has questions, mashallah. What Marana just mentioned, that, you know, fara'id and wajibat of salah, people always ask me. And they should, and I'm glad if you do ask me. But the point is, we all have questions. And the point is that whenever we have those questions, let's go to... That's why our respected Mona Adam Sahib is speaking today. A graduate, a alim, scholar who studied for 6 years just his alimiyya, and then he's a hafiz of Quran. And there are, mashallah, many ulama in this locality, in this society. So if you don't feel comfortable with myself, you can go to Mona Adam Sahib, you can go to our respected Mona Akbar Sahib. And alhamdulillah, I've gathered many of our scholars have accepted the invitation today. Our Mona Saeed Sahib is sitting here. Many scholars are here. Whoever you feel comfortable with. Right, you might think, oh, this Mufti Sahib, listen to him all the time in Jum'ah, and he's getting a bit boring now, I need somebody else. So go to Marna Adam Sahib, go to someone else. But alhamdulillah, there are people who can answer your questions properly. I've got a topic to talk about, which is about the importance of Palestine, and inshallah, I will get to that. But I'm very glad to see our respected elder. I don't want to call him a friend, because he's the friend of my uncle, and he's the friend of, mashallah, our... elders, but mashallah, he shows a lot of love and affection to us. Our respected Hafiz Mizan. Hafiz Mizan, mashallah, he is an international, nationally known nasheed artist, mashallah, and he does very, very beautiful nasheeds. And mashallah, he also happens to be in our local masjid in Oldham, so alhamdulillah, I'm always bumping into him and having very good conversations. So, inshallah, without any further ado, I'd like to call our Hafiz Mizan Sahib to come forward and recite a few nasheeds, inshallah, so we can all benefit.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now, did I hear one reply? Actually, only one from one side here. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. That livens a little bit, alhamdulillah. It increases your iman as well. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. My dear respected brothers and sisters, is that listening at home? Or just kids here? Okay, mentioned. Children, what kind of nasheed do you want to listen to? English, right? Yeah? I will do Urdu, don't worry. One of my favorite languages is Urdu, meaning like in terms of nasheed. It's not my spoken language, but I do like Urdu a lot. It's what I grew up listening to when I was small. I was really terrible at the beginning, but alhamdulillah, slowly started listening to, you know, the Natkhans from Pakistan and hanging around with Hafiz Abu Bakr. I think he's been here a few times. Managed to pick up a little bit. So I'll do an English nasheed. This is a very old nasheed. I don't know if you guys heard this one. I was singing on the way, my son, but he sings with me quite nice. But he doesn't want to come on. He's a bit embarrassed. His name is Muhammad Mustafa Ali. So this nasheed is called Al-Khaliq. What does Al-Khaliq mean? Anyone? Any children? MashaAllah, the creator. Very fast, MashaAllah. You'll be taught here very well. Alhamdulillah, Murar Muzakir, MashaAllah. Allah reward you. Allah accept his efforts. So I'll do this one, inshallah, Al-Khaliq. And I want everyone, inshallah, to collaborate with me, inshallah. Are you ready to sing with me? All you have to say, La ilaha illallah. The chorus is, La ilaha illallah. We had recently, we did a nasheed tour with various of the artists. And alhamdulillah, we, on the stage, all the children used to come on. They all used to come on and perform. Alhamdulillah. Even though some of them didn't know, but they picked you up straight away. Kids are very, very fortunate in terms of that they pick you up very fast. Allah's blessed them with that, with memory. So yeah, if you want to memorize anything, that is like Quran, Hadith, or Sunnah, trust me, this is the age. Your age is the best. I remember when I was small, I was put into a madrasa. this was when I was quite young. And I memorized Surah Rahman. I think I was about 7-8 years old. Honestly, after that, I never used to hardly look at Surah Rahman. I used to read it, but when the kids were playing about, you know, back in the day, I'm talking about 90s. Yeah, I'm talking about, I'm quite old, so you can tell how old I am. I'm talking about 80s. Yeah, in the 85, 86, one of the teachers made me memorize Surah Rahman, the first ruku, so that I can enter competition. Alhamdulillah, honestly, after that, I'm just giving you an example how sharp the memory is at that age. So if you memorize something, do it before you even memorize. If you can't memorize the Quran before 10, honestly, inshallah, it will never go away from your memory. Obviously, continue to you read it as well. So I'll do this nasheed called Al-Khaliq. Bismillah. Jazakallah. Are you ready? Inshallah. You heard this song? La ilaha illallah. Have you heard this song? Al-Khaliq? Well, Zain Bika is the one originally who's written this track, or Yusuf Islam, I think. And but obviously Zain Bika is quite, he was the very first English nasheed singer based in South Africa. I never heard of him until about 2000 plus. That was quite old then. And but after that, obviously, there's a lot of nasheed singers out there. You know, Umar Isa is very famous with his Israel songs, and you know, he's made these new nasheeds, mashallah. Zain Bika is going to be old school, but he has still, mashallah, he's still popular. And this is one of his tracks. It's called Al-Khaliq. His son sings this one. His beautiful, melodious voice when he was small. Obviously, he's grown up now. He's in his 30s. You ready to sing with me, inshallah? Bismillah ar-Rahman. Don't be shy. It's all, you know, it's your own muscle, so feel free.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
You're doing the zikr of Allah, brothers, honestly. Through the zikr of Allah, hearts find peace. Say, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's do another thing. Say, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Khaliq made the ocean, rivers, lakes, streams and rain. Bow their waves in pure submission upon the earth to praise His name. Are you ready? La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no creature among us upon the air or in the sea that does not sing with wonder, praising in community. Say, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The dry earth is a sign for all of mankind, brought to life with peaceful rain, and towards Allah will do the same. Say, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Jazakallah khair. Now I am going to move on to my next nasheed in praise of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm just going to start off just Durud Sharif, then I'm going to go on to the main track.
اللهم صل على المصطفى حبيبنا محمد عليه السلام 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 طلع البدر علينا.
Hello, I heard of this track. So I'll keep on asking you questions. Just feel free, inshallah. This is like an informal gathering. As long as you don't listen to music, that's fine. But, you know, try to... This is the reason we do nasheeds. Just to encourage, you know, just to so that you come away from other bad things that, you know, we might fall into. Like listen to music, etc. So, alhamdulillah, there's a lot of vocal arts out there. Obviously we don't recommend you to listen to musical nasheeds. That's another fitna. So we encourage everyone to listen to vocal only nasheed, inshallah. This one, with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anybody know the story behind this nasheed? Talal al-Badr. What does Talal al-Badr mean? Mulana, can you explain to them? Inshallah. Talal means
rising. Isn't that right? Sorry, my Arabic is not good. That's why I asked Maulana, he's a qualified scholar. I'm not a scholar. Tala al Badr. Badr means moon, inshallah. So when the, who's this moon? Let's see. Come on, it's quite obvious. Who's the moon that came to Medina? The brightest moon. Who is he? What's his name? One. Subhanallah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu, say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi. Read Durush Sharif this morning and evening. Try to read Durush Sharif morning and evening, inshallah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was entering, when he's migrating through the hukum of Allah, through the order of Allah, when he was migrating from Makkah to Medina, was with his companion. What's his name? The first Khalif. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. May Allah be pleased with him. So, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr, upon entering Medina, they made this song, the people of Makkah, Medina. They were known as the Ansar, the companions known as Ansar, the helpers. And the children, they all recited these couplets. So, and I've added some English lyrics as well. So let's try to sing this one as well together. Bismillah.
طلع البدر علينا من سنيات الوداع وجب الشكر علينا ما دعا لله دا ما دعا لله دا
together say طلع
البدر علينا من سنيات الوداع وجب الشكر علينا ما دعا لله دا ما دعا لله Oh, the white moon rose over us from the valley of Wada, and we owe it to show thankfulness where the call is to Allah. Say, طلع البدر علينا من سنيات الوداع وجب الشكر علينا ما دعا لله دا ما دعا لله دا أيها المبعوث فينا جئت بالأمر المطاع جئت شرفت المدينة مرحبا يا خير دا
ready steady one together
طلع البدر علينا من سنيات الوداع وجب الشكر علينا ما دعا لله دا ما دعا لله دا Oh, you who was raised amongst us, coming with the West to be obeyed, you have brought this city nobleness. Welcome, O caller, to God's way. Welcome, O caller, to God's way. Say, طلع البدر علينا من سنيات الوداع وجب الشكر علينا ما دعا لله دا ما دعا لله دا طلع البدر علينا من سنيات الوداع وجب الشكر علينا ما دعا لله دا ما دعا لله دا ما دعا لله دا
جزا Do you like that? Say Alhamdulillah. Takbir. Takbir. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah.
Hamare Peygamber wo hadi hamare wo naqshe qadam hai ke roshan sitare wo rehmat khuda ki wo ne'mat sarapa wo saaya hai hum par na ta jin ka saaya Muhammad wo hai Muhammad say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad nabi yawmihi mu'azzam wo hai Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Salam Muhammad Nabi yawmeh mukarram wo hai noor mujassam shani kaunai ya habibi ya Muhammad ya shafi ya Muhammad karam hai Ilahi ye tera andheron mein bheja jo tune savera hame nekiyon ka hai rasta dikhaya gunahon se roka khuda se milaya Muhammad wo hai Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad nabi yawmeh mu'azzam wo hai Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Salam Muhammad Nabi yawmeh mukarram wo hai noor mujassam shaane kaunai ya habibi ya Muhammad ya shafi ya Muhammad our prophet our guide he cried for us day and night Asking for our forgiveness, praying to Allah. Wo hai Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad, nabi yawmeh mu'azzam. Wo hai Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi Salam Muhammad Nabi yawmeh mukarram wo hai noor mujassam shaane kaunai wo hai noor mujassam
Jazakallah khair thank you zikr let's do one more zikr inshallah okay brothers So this one is called Proclaim the Oneness of Allah. We're going to do the zikr together. Okay? You ready? This is a different tune. Maybe some of you found the melody is the last one difficult. But this one is quite easy.
La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah.
Say it loudly.
La ilaha illa Allah la ilaha illa Allah say la ilaha illa Allah la ilaha illa Allah La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Say La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His power and His might reigns over all things. He is Allah, the King of all kings. Proclaim the oneness of Allah, that there's no God except Allah. Proclaim the oneness of Allah, that there's no God except Allah. You ready? Say La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His existence is most unique. Neither does he slumber nor does he sleep. With his knowledge he's everywhere. Remember this and always be aware. Remember this and always be aware. Say La ilaha illallah. Loudly say La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Shall I do a dua? Baksa. Couple of baksa in Urdu, inshallah. Just before I go, I just remember this. Just few lines about Aksa. I don't want to leave this gathering without making a dua for them. You just say Amin, inshallah, quietly.
Bacha tu masjid-e aqsa ko zalim se mere maula.
Say Amin.
Bacha tu masjid-e aqsa ko zalim se mere maula. Darindon ne tere ghar par kiya hamla mere maula. Imamat ki hai aqa ne jahan sare nabiyon ki. Imamat ki hai aqa ne jahan sare nabiyon ki. Muqaddas sar zameen ko tu napako se bacha maula.
Amin.
Napako muqaddas sar zameen ko tu napako se bacha maula. Bacha tu masjid-e aqsa ko zalim se mere maula. Darindon ne tere ghar par kiya hamla mere maula.
My brothers and sisters, make sure you all, inshallah, continue to make dua for Gaza, Palestine. Don't forget this, to make dua for me after every salah and the imams, inshallah. I hope, obviously they do, inshallah, but just a reminder. JazakAllah for having me. May Allah accept your coming here. Make dua that Allah accepts my nasheeds and be a form of inspiration for myself and for yourself, inshallah. JazakAllah khair. JazakAllah to Mawlana Sahib for inviting me.
MashaAllah, very, very nicely, beautiful recitations of different nasheeds by our Hafiz Sahib. Hafiz Sahib, MashaAllah, he can probably carry on. He has so many nasheeds. And one of the beautiful things is, like Hafiz Sahib mentioned in his nasheeds or during the middle, he was saying that, you know, not to listen to nasheeds with music. And MashaAllah, that's one of the amazing things. He's never used music in his nasheeds. MashaAllah, he's a Hafiz of Quran and he has that good understanding. So we should listen to nasheed artists like them. MashaAllah, Hafiz Sahib has his own albums and everything. So we can give them, MashaAllah, all these nasheed artists who are trying to give this, I don't want to use the word entertainment, because it's inspiration for us. We should help them, we should assist them, we should listen to them. I'm surprised that we don't know nasheeds. Put your hand up if you knew any of the nasheeds that Hafiz Sahib had written. Who knew the Tala al-Badru Alina one? That's not very good. Why is that not very good? Because I know people listen to alternative things, unfortunately. And, you know, many of these fundraisers and things that have happened for Palestine, there has been music and other things playing. So we have all these nasheed halal. If you want to call it halal entertainment, you can do. That we want to listen to something which is pleasing to the ears and inspirational to the soul as well. That it makes a person remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it makes a person develop that love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should listen to nasheeds which are beneficial, which have good words, and not just for the tune and for the sound, but for the meaning. So that's very important. So that the meaning should inspire us. We should, you know, get up from that gathering and we should feel more connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So mashallah, Hafiz Sahib finished off with a brief dua about Masjid al-Aqsa. So that was my topic. I thought I'll just do a very brief reminder. Because obviously we have to talk about different things, and we don't always, you know, this is a good opportunity to give a reminder about the importance of the situation which is taking place in Palestine. I call it situation, it's a massacre. Every second, I think the estimate was 63 children are dying every minute. SubhanAllah, was it every hour? But the point is, was it every day? It's every day, possibly every day. But it's such a sad state of affairs that people are so, you know, they don't have food, they don't have... Sometimes when you see the food distribution taking place, Ya Allah, it just makes you embarrassed when we are sitting down to eat our really nice three-course meal and our doner kebab and our burgers, and people are queuing up for some bread. There was that video of that child who was going around and he missed the food queue. And then, you know, he was just... Obviously, he had no other elders in the family to come and get the food, and he'd missed, and then everybody helped. And subhanAllah, that's one thing. In the Urdu, they call this hamdardi, this ithar, the preference to others, that even though they don't have anything themselves, put your hand up, who knows what's happening in Palestine? From the children, I'm asking, adults, of course, social media, you'll tell us. MashaAllah, very good. We should all know, Saladin, you know what's happening in Palestine? MashaAllah. Saladin has got a badge on saying Free Palestine. His mum bought it for him at this thing. So it's very important that we know. And how does it benefit us by knowing? We make dua. We make lots and lots of dua. That's the greatest. Many of you in madrasa and us as adults, we've heard the hadith, that ad-du'a'u silahul mu'min. The dua is the weapon of the believer. SubhanAllah. What does a person do with a weapon? They defend themselves. They fight. That if a person feels helpless, they can't physically fight, they can't physically do anything, dua is the strongest thing that we can use. And there are special times, mashallah, wa Hafiz Idris Sahib, every Friday, he will put the message, everyone between Asr and Maghrib, there's a Sa'atul Ijaba, a special time in which du'as are accepted. Make use of this time and do dua for the people of Palestine, people of Gaza. Every day, thousands of people are dying. You know, children are becoming orphaned, they're losing their parents. Wives are becoming widowed, they're losing their husbands. Parents are, you know, losing their children. Everybody is just, the only thing they can expect in front of them is is just gloom and doom. It's very terrible, it's extremely terrible. So we need to, our heart needs to be connected to them. We need to remember them, we need to make dua for them. We need to recite Quran and send it for them. Every day recite Surah Yasin. We should have the habit that every morning we should recite Surah Yasin in the morning. That in one narration you can find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever recites Surah Yasin fi sadri nahari qudiyat hawaijuhu. It's a bit of a weak hadith, but it's something for the purpose of virtue, and it's something that has been tried and tested by many pious people. That you recite Surah Yasin in the morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes all of your affairs easy for you. And then perform the Ishraq Salah. And then we should recite it and make the intention, oh Allah, please send it to our masjid, brothers and sisters in Palestine, and make dua for them, for the believers, for the Muslims in Gaza. And Masjid Al-Aqsa, inshallah, in our madrasa, we've had workshops and we'll continue to have them. And inshallah, in Madrasa Falahi Dareen, where many of you do go as well. So inshallah, there will continue to be talks. And for the adults as well, we need to understand the significance of Masjid Al-Aqsa. One dua, mashallah, that is always made, by many of the scholars, that after every salah and this and that, they will always make the dua that Allahumma ihfaz al-haramain al-sharifain wal-masjid al-aqsa. Oh Allah, please protect haramain sharifain, Mecca and Medina and masjid al-aqsa. These are the three most greatest masjids upon the earth. The house of Allah in Mecca and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's masjid in Medina and masjid al-aqsa. Who can tell me a fact about why masjid al-aqsa is so great? Who knows? A fact about why Masjid Al-Aqsa. Adults can join in, mashallah. We can start a quiz now, inshallah. Well done. Al-Mi'raj took place from there. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went from there and he went into... What's Al-Mi'raj? What's Mi'raj? Who can tell me what Mi'raj is? The night journey. What happened in the night journey? Go on, you're there. Don't you the one? Well done, well done. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went from Masjid al-Aqsa all the way until the seven heavens, and then he had a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that night of Mi'raj, the five times salah was revealed to us, was given to us as a gift. This happened from Masjid al-Aqsa. Who can tell me another fact about Masjid al-Aqsa? It was a direction that we were used to, you know, face when performing salah before we face the Kaaba. Go ahead. It's the land of the prophets, mashallah, well done. Thousands of prophets were born upon that land. Many of them passed away. If a person goes now, Masjid al-Aqsa, mashallah, there are many people sitting here who have been, that you can see the grave of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, the grave of Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam, the grave of Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam, and many other prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. So it's a land of blessings, filled with blessings, this land of Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Aqsa, remember, it's called Baytul Maqdis. Baytul Maqdis can be referred to as the entire land of Palestine and neighboring Lebanon and parts of Jordan. All of that is known as Baytul Maqdis. And especially the place where Masjid al-Aqsa is, the masjid built by Prophet Adam alayhi salam, and then Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. Who can tell me one more fact about Masjid al-Aqsa? A very important fact. Something to do with our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Go on. Nobody knows? Go on. Well done, very good. That's the one I was looking for. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led all of the prophets. Every single prophet that came into this world, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led them all in prayer. If you go according to the hadith that there were 124,000 prophets, imagine they all read performed salah behind our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Masjid al-Aqsa. So inshallah, I don't want to make it a very long drawn out bayan, but the point is, look, a few things we can do. You know, Salahuddin bought this badge, Free Palestine, and people are getting the flags and people are putting on their car and people are, all that's good, but we need to make an effort as well. First thing, dua. Lots of dua, constant dua. Actually, even before dua, we need to do tawbah from our sins. We need to stop doing any bad things, any bad habits that we have, whatever they may be, we need to stop doing them. We need to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincere tawbah. Oh Allah, we will never do any other sin ever again. And if any sin does happen, any small sin, we straight away do tawbah once again. Because remember, many times, Allah, everybody listen very carefully, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us through tests because of our mistakes and our sins. So if we have lots of mistakes and then we say, I don't get it, why is this happening in Masjid al-Aqsa? Or why is this happening in this country? Many times it's our own mistakes. That's why it's very important we do lots and lots of tawbah. And then second thing, we do lots and lots of dua. And then third thing, this boycotting thing people talk about is very good, very beneficial. These companies are suffering great losses through the boycotting. But many people aren't doing it. I have children coming to madrasa with Coca-Cola cans and we have to tell them. I think one boy was sitting somewhere, I don't know where he's gone. So we need to don't buy anything that we know has been, either produce, fruit or veg that has been grown in the land which they call Israel, which is the occupied Palestine. Palestine, the land of the Muslims, and it was occupied by these people, it was taken over by them, and now they call it Israel, and now many of the fruit and vegetation and dates and things like that that grow there and are sold in our supermarkets, we shouldn't buy them. because, you know, we are just giving them more, basically giving them more money, giving them more business. And similarly, anything which we know is supplying them financially or any other way, we should boycott all of those brands. That's why the scholars, friends of Aqsa, they always say the four main brands. They say Coca-Cola, they say Puma, they say HP, and they say fruit and produce which is grown in Israel. But there are pages upon pages. My wife is struggling recently. Where can I shop? There's nowhere to shop. Everything is boycotted. But this is good. We're suffering. You know, there was this next sale thing going around. Boxing Day, everybody make sure you don't buy from next, as tempting as it may be. We have to take these things seriously, because what other sacrifice are we really making? That's the question we need to ask. And everybody wants to make a sacrifice. Everybody wants to talk for 5 hours, 6 hours. This is the minimum thing we can do. Anybody who is, when our respected Shaykhul Islam Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafidhahullah was asked that should we boycott? Is it a sin to not boycott? He said, look, it's not a sin. He said, but it's a moral thing that somebody is bombing and killing your brothers and sisters. If they were doing it to your... The problem is, as Muslims, we don't feel... We feel that there's some... You know, it's a different country, it doesn't bother us. But what did the Prophet ﷺ teach us? That all of the Muslims are like one body. If the eye hurts, the whole body hurts. If the hand hurts, the whole body hurts. If the head hurts, the whole body hurts. Every Muslim, if they call themselves a Muslim, is my brother or my sister. So if somebody is killing my brother or my sister, they are killing them, murdering them, why would I pay people who support them? And that's the minimum that we can do. So we should stay away from that, inshallah. And without any further ado, our last talk, inshallah, it's going to be a very quick talk, and then at 6 o'clock, maybe we can start our quiz as well. We'll probably, you know, organize everybody into a few groups. The adults, inshallah, will give you some time as well. Mashallah, this kitab that we're going to use, it has a lot of beneficial topics, so we can revise some things and we can discuss some important aspects of Islamic knowledge as an opportunity. Mashallah, you're all here so that everybody can benefit. So before we do this, inshallah, very quickly, I'd like to call our respected Marna Saeed Saab forward to give a very important talk about the value of time.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد الهادي إلى صراط المستقيم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending salawat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We ask you, O Allah, that whatever we learn here today, give us the true and the correct understanding of it, so that we may practice on it and pass it on to others. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Mufti Sahib asked me to speak about the value of time. So, I thought we'd give everyone involved, inshallah. We start with one surah of the Quran, a very short surah, which all of us know it, I'm sure, Surah Al-Asr. And inshallah, we just speak a bit of a translation of the surah, so we understand what's the value of time for a Muslim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off the surah and he says, wal asr. Well, this while Allah says, takes a qasm. You know, like how we like to take a qasm when you want someone to believe you. What do you say? Qasm, I did it. Yeah? When we speak, say, wallah, I'm telling the truth, I did it. Qasm, it was... See, so that we want people to us to believe us. That, listen, I'm telling the truth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal asr, by the qasam of time. That means, what does we learn the first thing? That time is very, very important. When a second goes, it's gone, it's never going to come back again. Afan? Not afan. Anas? When 1 second goes, it's never coming back again. 1 minute goes, it's never coming back again. Whatever goes, it's never coming back again.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the qasam of time, that listen, time is so important, value your time. Why? Innal insana lafi khusr, because insan, human beings are at a loss. Innal insan, indeed insan, lafi khusr, are surely in a loss. They are in a loss. Why? Because, well, before we explain that, except Allah makes an exception to the rule that illa alladhina amanu, except those that believe. Illa alladhina amanu. So Allah is talking about you and I, because we all believe in Allah. Do we not believe in Allah? So Allah is talking about us. He says that illa alladhina amanu, those that believe. And not only do they believe, but what do they do? وَعَمِلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they do righteous deeds. They do righteous deeds. Those people are not at a loss. What do they not? What are they not at a loss for? So the Mufassirin, the commentators explain that those people will not be at a loss on the day of Qiyamah, because they have Iman, so that Iman will take them to Jannah. And that's what the whole purpose is, isn't it? Why Allah has created us, so that we can recognize Allah, so we can meet Allah when we leave this world. And that's the purpose of our creation. Why has Allah put us in this world? So that we can recognize who Allah is. And how do we recognize Allah? That we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased with us. And that's why we have to go to madrasa, so we can learn how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those that have, who being iman, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they do righteous deeds. What's the righteous deeds we do? Yaqub, give us one righteous deed quickly. Anything? Gee, performing salah, another one. Reading the Qur'an. Come on, anything? Anything righteous deed? Helping someone, making dua, fasting. So these are all these righteous deeds that we do. وَعَمِلِ الصَّالِحَاتِ. These will get us to Jannah. These will get us to Jannah. وَعَمِلِ الصَّالِحَاتِ. And what also? وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. And when we advise one another towards the truth. What is the truth? Towards Kitabullah. By the book of Allah. To advise one another towards the truth, towards Allah, towards joining what is good and forbidding what is evil. And when you do that, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, people will come against you, people will turn against you, but we will carry on doing it. Why? Because not do we only want to go to Jannah, we want to take every one of us to Jannah. I came across a very beautiful article, inshallah the elders will appreciate it a bit more, and then I want to make a very quickly go through how we can spend a day as a Muslim. It would have been nice, inshallah, if we all had a piece of paper and pencil and we could have written it down, like Maulana Adam mentioned in the beginning, if you want to remember something, you have to write it down. But anyway, a very beautiful article I came across, and it should, inshallah, if I just read through it, so we don't take much time. It goes like the value of time. Time is one of the most valuable and priceless things in this universe. It is the resource that we cannot buy, sell or trade. We should utilize our time for ourselves and for our loved ones, and also for the good of other people around us. This helps us and the society to grow towards the better tomorrow. And then, wasting time will result in regret afterwards. We should not waste time in any way. Likewise, we can earn the amount of money we spend, but we can never get back the time that we have lost. Money that we get, we spend it today, tomorrow you go to work, you get another paycheck, you get, so that money, whatever we use, we can get it. But once time is gone, it's gone, you'll never get that time back again. Every second that comes, is coming, and that's taking us one day, 1 second closer to our death. So what have we prepared for the Akhirah? What are we doing for the year to come? And then he says, for utilizing the time fully and effectively, we must study some points that can help us for our whole life ahead. The best and effective utilization of our time includes setting goals, preparing work lists, prioritizing tasks, and having sufficient sleep. For the best use of the time, we should set long and short-term goals. The long-term and the short-term goals will help us in being productive and a time-saver. Moreover, they will help us as a driving force that will continuously motivate us. Also increase and it also increases and generates a willingness to accomplish various things in our life. Firstly, if it will feel like when we first set up a target, it will become difficult. But once we get to do it, it becomes routine and it becomes easy. So I thought, because we've got so many more small children here, mashallah, so I thought, let's try as Muslims to go through a day. At how should we spend our day as a Muslim? From the time we wake up in the morning. So at some point, mashallah, Mufti Sahib tried to get it on the screen, but couldn't have, we didn't have much time. So, mashallah, this is the end of the year. Today is the 31st of December. Tomorrow is the 1st of January. And usually what happens on the 1st of January? We say, let's make a what? A New Year's resolution. What are we going to do? Make a New Year's resolution. So this is our New Year's resolution, how I'm going to become a better Muslim, how I'm going to be a productive Muslim. So let's see. Let's start from the beginning of the day. So first of all, we wake up. When we wake up in the morning, recite your du'as when you wake up, du'a when you wake up in the morning. And then we have to brush, use the toilet, brush our teeth. So when we use our toilet, before we enter the toilet, read the du'as before entering the toilet. Go to make istinja, make wudu. While we're in there, make istinja, make wudu, and then we can come out of the toilet. When you come out of the toilet, read the du'a again. And then what should we do? The first thing we should think about is now it's time for my fajr salah. So if we start off that every day, for example, in our masjid here, fajr salah is at 7 o'clock. But you know, do you know what time we can read fajr salah till? Right until 8 o'clock we can read fajr salah. Nowadays, right until 8 o'clock we can read fajr salah. So there should be no excuse for anyone to miss the salah at all, to make the salah qadha. So what we do, we make our intention, we read our fajr salah, and after we read our fajr salah, Mufti Sahib mentioned it also, then take out some time, make dhikr of Allah. Read subhanallah 33 times, alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 times, and then read Surah Yasin. If you read Surah Yasin, inshallah, then all your needs for the day will be fulfilled. And now because we're coming to school on Tuesday, inshallah, most of us, so what we do, now we've read our fajr salah, we've read our Quran, we've got dressed already, have a good hearty breakfast, have a nice breakfast, get ready, give your mom, your dad a hug, our parents, mashallah, give our children a hug, tell them you love them, inshallah, they'll go to school with that positive energy, inshallah. Go to school, they'll do their work. We as parents, we're going to work, mashallah. Could leave your child, you know, sometimes in madrasa, ask the child, do you not learn your sabak in the morning? Where's your father? So he says, oh, Karisab, I don't see my father the whole day. So I say, why? He says, no, he does. He's doing the taxi. So he starts early in the morning before I wake up. So I said, okay, so you must be seeing him in the evening. He said, no, Karisab, when I come back from madrasa, my father is sleeping now. So I said, when do you get to? So he said, sometimes I get to see my father on the weekend. Sometimes on the weekend. So I think to myself, Ya Allah, we have children. Some people don't have children, and they're crying for children. We have children, and we ignore them like if they don't exist. And on the other hand, the children don't want to see their parents, because when the father comes in the house, the first thing, hey, what did you do today? And we start shouting them and scolding them. So it's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. Be kind and merciful to the children, and the children be honest, respectful to our parents. So very quickly, wake up with the intent. When we wake up early in the morning, our New Year's resolution, we will read our sunnah, masnoon du'as, we'll read fajr. After our fajr salah, we will read our Quran. After we read our Quran, we'll get ready for school. We will go to school. And when we go to school, we will respect our teachers. Whether they're Muslims or not, we will respect everyone. We will respect our fellow students in school. When we come back from school, the first thing we do before we enter the house, we make salam, we give our parents a hug, our parents give us a hug, and we make wudu, we read our salatul dhuhr if there's time, or if the elder students, mashallah, if you're in high school, read your salatul dhuhr in school, mashallah, they give you facilities in high school to read your salatul dhuhr in school, come back, mashallah, as soon as you come back, you can read your salatul asr, come to the masjid, read your salatul asr in the masjid, and after you read your salatul asr, mashallah, go home, then you can have your tea time. Relax with your family, relax with your parents, relax with your time. That's when we usually get our free time. You spent 6 hours studying in school, so now you're tired. So now give your mind some time to play. Play your little games, mashallah. And then when there's 15, 20 minutes before madrasa, make wudu, go through your sabak, and now you come to madrasa. Now when you come to madrasa, because you already learnt your Quran early in the morning, you already know your sabak. so you won't be tired. When you come back from madrasa, when you come back from school, you spent 6 hours learning in school. So now your mind is tired. When you come back from work, you spent hours, your mind is occupied on other things. Then you say, right, better learn your sabak. You learn your sabak, but you're not going to know anything. Why? Because your mind is already tired. So learn your sabak before you go to school. Learn your sabak, your hif students, learn your sabak before you go to madrasa, go to school. Then when you come back from school, mashallah, you just have to go through it once or twice and you will know your work. You come to madrasa, then you will come happy to madrasa, you will be happy to see your teacher will be happy to see you. But if you don't learn your work, if you don't prepare yourself, then you're going to come all tired from school. And when you come tired from school, then you're going to go to madrasa and you'll say, oh, Karisa will say, right, read your sabak. I didn't learn my sabak. I didn't learn. And then you're going to be upset. And when you're upset, your Karisa is going to get, why didn't you learn your sabak? Tianas? Right, stand up. And then, now you don't like madrasa anymore. But you like school. Why? Because in school no one shouted you. You went to school all fresh. So if you learn your sabak at home, in the morning before you go to madrasa, then when you come back from after school, you fresh, mashallah, you can play around, because you already know your sabak. Then you fresh, then you come to madrasa, you'll come happy to madrasa, you'll come wanting to learn in madrasa, then in madrasa you pray your asr salah, you pray your maghrib salah, mashallah, and then you go back home. When you go, in our house, mashallah, we keep it, we have one time which is called our quality time. The quality time is when everyone comes back from school, mashallah, and we sit down together and we have that one meal a day together, the whole family. All of us at after asr salah, 3:30, before madrasa, 4 o'clock, and we all sit together, and this is what we should try and do. And at that time, mashallah, one of us, mashallah, the children are here, we all have a turn to read ta'alim at home. So we have a fazaili amal kitab, and everyone gets a turn every day to read one hadith. And this is what we call spending quality time. Spending quality time, and then we say, right, what did you learn today at school? So this is what we should be doing. This is how we spend quality time. Is not the right, mashallah, let's get a movie, put a movie, and the whole family sits and watch the movie together. That's not quality time. That's not quality time. And it's when we sit together, when we come back from madrasa, and then you ask your child, what did you learn in madrasa today? And then you say, oh, today we learned this about madrasa. We learned this, what we learned in madrasa. Mashallah, this is door for the. This is a revision for the adults. That mashallah, oh yeah, I remember, yes, I remember that. This is the story we learned about. Oh yeah, I remember that story. When I was in Maktab, I also knew that story. That's what Islam from the day, from the, Islam is not only what we do in madrasa. Islam is from the day we from the day we're born till the day we die. And we remember all these things. And the only way we remember them is if we talk about them. So we discuss with our children after madrasa, what did you learn, mashallah, talk about it. And the very, very important, and this is what I always try and emphasize, especially to my students in my class, that after madrasa, after you read your salah, when you've spoken with your parents, you've spoken, try and go and sleep early. Sleep early so you can wake up early. It's a very beautiful English saying. Learn it and remember it. Those in my class will know it. Early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Remember this here. Early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Think about it. Think about it as adults also. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept barakat of the day in the first part of the day. Barakat of everything in the first part of the day. In the first part of the day. So if you go and sleep early, you are going to wake up early. But unfortunately, and this we see it in the holidays, and it's so sad, that from in my, I'm talking about my street. You're in Ashton, my street. 9, 10 o'clock, and especially in the summer, all our Muslim children are still playing outside. 10, 11, 12 o'clock. And I ask the children in my class, what time do you sleep? Some say, oh, we sleep at 12 o'clock. Some say, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And what time do you wake up? 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, when it's time for Zuhar Salah. So we've made it upside down. Where we're supposed to be sleeping, we awake. And when we're supposed to be awake, we're sleeping. But if you look at it, subhanAllah, the non-Muslims, the children in our street, most of them who are non-Muslims, by 8, 9 o'clock, the street is quiet. And the only people playing outside are our Muslim children. All the non-Muslim children, by latest 10 o'clock, they're all fast asleep. And the next morning at 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, all the non-Muslim children are playing outside and all our Muslim children are sleeping. Have you seen that in your streets? That's what happens in our... And this is totally against the way Allah has made things. Allah says, I've created the night so you can sleep and rest in the night. And I've created the day so you can do your work in the day. But we do it the opposite. What do? In the day, mashallah, we all wide awake until 12 and 1 and 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. And then in the day, we all sleeping right until 12 and 1 and 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So this is our New Year's resolution, that what we're going to do, from the time we wake up in the morning till the time we sleep, we're going to make a plan for ourselves. We're going to make a plan for ourselves that this is what I'm going to do from the time I wake up right until the time I sleep. And first and foremost, we have to make our timetable around our salah. We have to make our timetable around our salah. And especially as adults, we don't make our salah around our timetables. Aqeem al-salah. Okay, one of my students explained it so beautiful, Musa, today. When we were speaking about Aqeem al-salah, what's the understanding? What is the tafsir of Aqeem al-salah? Just be steadfast on your salah. Establish your salah. She says that we plan our day around our salah and we plan our day around our salah and we don't plan our salah around our day. Don't perform your salah, but establish. Allah says in the Quran, "Aqimus salah." Establish the salah. That means perform your 5-10 salah on time. So if we want to establish our salah, then we plan our day around our salah and not plan our salah around our day. And inshallah, if we keep that in mind and we try and keep this in mind, then inshallah, our New Year's resolution is that I'm going to make a plan starting from today, from tomorrow inshallah, the 1st of January, I'm going to have a timetable and this is how I'm going to live my life. And then we will see the benefit of the value of time. And then, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. We will not be counted as those people who are at a loss. Why? Because we believe in Allah. We believe in Allah. And we will be doing good deeds all the time. And we will be advising other people towards the truth. And we will be advising other people towards having patience. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my father, first of all, to give us the true and correct understanding of this Quran ayat, and more importantly, to make amal, to practice on them. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin, subhanahu rabbika rabbil
izzati. Jazakallahu khairan to Mulana for a very important reminder. Okay, I know everybody, it's very, very hot inside of the masjid, so what we'll do, so that's the talks now. So inshallah, we want to have a quiz and a Q&A, and I know some of the little ones are probably getting a bit tired because the program has become a bit long, but the food is after Isha Salah, the pizzas. Unfortunately, if we could get them earlier, we would have, but they're going to come after Isha Salah. So what we'll do, Shaitan Bey, I think if we set up the Dasarkhan and the children can go into the Dasarkhan, they can have a bit of water, we can have some water, etc., and then we'll see if we can give some snacks out to them. And then after that, inshallah, we'll turn the mic off and we'll have a workshop for the adults. Anyone who wants to stay, workshop for the adults, our respected Mona Adam Sahib, he's going to go through some section from this kitab. It's very beneficial, so we should all join in and we should all learn. And we should all benefit from that. And if you have any Q&A questions and answers, well, he can answer. And I will be around as well. And the children can go upstairs. So upstairs, inshallah, for the children, we will have the quiz and everything. Is that okay, Afsa? Inshallah. So everybody, inshallah, you can make your way to the back now. And we'll have some water and some snacks. And then after that, inshallah, we'll have the quiz. Okay. Yeah, those who are year 11 and over, you can stay downstairs here with Morana. Go and have your water and refresh a bit. And then you can come and sit with Morana here. Okay, everyone can make your way to the back, don't feel shy. And make sure nobody goes home now. The food is coming, but it's coming after Isha, and we have a quiz, and we have some sweets to be distributing to everyone.